seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 268. It's September 8, 2015. We're in the book of Revelation, have been for some time now, hope to be getting out of it sometime this week, Lord willing. The passage is chapter 17, verse 8. Let's go right into where we were yesterday, from where we were yesterday. The beast that you saw, this is an angel speaking to John, the beast, he has seen a beast, and he's seen a woman on top of the beast, but we're leaving the woman just for a moment. We're leaving Babylon, we're leaving all of that we were talking about yesterday to talk about the beast. He wants to, and it's not any different than we saw in chapter 13, but now we're going to find out who it is and what it's about. And all these clues are here because God really wants us to understand. People read through the book of Revelation, they say, it's just impossible to understand it. It was all written in code. But no, the code is, you can find out. It can be broken, this code. It was meant to be broken. It was meant for us to find out, or we wouldn't even have the book to begin with. Please don't write this book off. Read it. Listen. Read and listen and keep trying to find out. I didn't find out all about it. I found out some more than others because I dug deeper than others. But you can dig deeper than me. And stand on my shoulders. See what I see and then see some more things. Keep trying. There was no reason why this book was meant to remain a mystery. Keep trying. Tells it who it is. And here's a clue now. The beast that you saw, this animal that you saw underneath the woman was what? Just was. In other words, existed in the past. Was. What do we mean? Where are we? Where we're in 30 some, 40 some, maybe 90 some AD. John is being spoken to. John is being spoken to. John, the animal that you saw, used to live, but he is not. What's that mean? He does not exist today. You can't see him anywhere today, and that is still true. Still true. In John's day, the man was past. And I say the man because that's what we're talking about. This animal stands for a man that represents all these kingdoms of the world. Yeah, a lot of things it represents, but when it boils down, it is simply a man. It was the number of a man we found in Revelation 13, 666. We're talking about a man. And this animal used to exist, this person, I mean, used to live. He doesn't live now. And he's about to come out of the abyss. Now, I just read from the New American Standard, the New American Standard Bible. And they are not alone in using this translation, about to come, to translate the word hupage. And forgive me if I'm saying that wrong, you Greek scholars. Hupage. Where did I put that card? Let's see, every time I look for it now, there it is. Hupage. Hupage is a verb. It's in the third person singular in some translations. I don't mean translations. I mean versions of the Bible. Texts of the Bible, the original text that we have. Well, we don't have the original, but in the oldest of texts, sometimes you'll see hupage, but in other old manuscripts, you will see hupagein, which is an infinitive. He is to come. Hupage means he comes. Hupagein, he is to come. But notice that in these translations, they've taken he is to come, if that's the one they're using, and they've put the word about in there. Now, I'm not enough of a Greek scholar to know whether that's just a standard thing you do with the infinitive, to come. You just put an about and you make it an immediate thing. But in the English sense, just from a standpoint of an English-Greek translation, you go from hupage to he comes, to hoop again, he is to come. And neither of those ideas is immediate. That is, I don't believe it's happened yet. You'll see why. I mean, the things that Antichrist is supposed to do and this beast is supposed to be doing all through history hasn't been done yet. Hasn't been done. The beast, this person you saw used to exist. He doesn't exist now, John. And he's going to come. He is to come, or he comes, you can say by some versions. He comes up out of the abyss. Ah, we found that abyss in chapter, what was it, 9, 10? I think 9, where the locusts were suddenly being released out of the abyss. Because there's an angel or more standing there at the pit, at the gate of the pit, and he only allows into our atmosphere and into our world of a sphere of being, he only allows what God says is time to be allowed. Locusts are coming, sure. There's a lot of junk coming out of that pit, but eventually the one who is restraining, the restraining angel, will step aside, and this one, the Antichrist, will come. That's why I tell people there's no need to be looking in your newspaper to find out who Antichrist is. CNN doesn't know. Fox News doesn't know who the Antichrist is and never has mentioned his name. They have no clue. And they will not get the story until the world gets it, when he comes up out of the pit. There's going to be a miraculous entrance. Look at it, 2 Thessalonians 2, and this just confirms it. He doesn't live right now, but when he does come, according to Paul, it's going to be with miracles and signs and wonders, and the world will be looking at him. For one thing, he will be resurrected from the dead. As I said earlier, it's a temptation to think that it's that last world ruler that is shot and then he comes back to life immediately and the world sees that. And that's, I suppose, still in the realm of possibility. But according to this, in John's day, the person was history. You see where I'm going? In John's day, this person was history. That means I'm looking before John to find the one who's going to come again. Notice how he will mimic Christ, who left the earth, but he's coming again. He died and rose again. Jesus did, and this Antichrist will do the same thing. Those who dwell on the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see him. That he used to live. Yeah, we know all about him. We've read about him. But he's not now. But he's coming. And they're going to say, oh my goodness, look, it's him. Here is the mind which has wisdom. Do you have wisdom? Do you? Do I? Let's see. I don't know. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Well, you're going to get split wisdom throughout the church world on this one. I'd like to go with both interpretations. Why not? A dual interpretation. Everybody knows about the seven hills of Rome. Everybody knows that the Vatican is in Rome. Everybody knows, everybody can read the end of verse of chapter 17, the woman that you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. There's no question that Rome, with its seven hills, could be a part of this interpretation, but there's more. There's more. This man sits on seven world mountains. The mountain sometimes in the Bible refers to world kingdoms. Kingdoms. Historic kingdoms. As you look down through history, you see seven huge mountaintops, and people have identified them as perhaps Egypt and Old Babylonia and New Babylon and Assyria in between there, and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome. And then there's going to be another one, but there'll be seven. I'm not sure if I gave the exact seven, but there have been basically seven world empires so far. We're not in a world empire now. Haven't been since the days of Rome. Some people say that Rome is going to rise again and form the seventh one. But let's look at this. Verse 10. There are seven kings or kingdoms. Kings have a kingdom. And these seven kings ruled throughout history. Five of them did anyway. In John's day, here's another clue. Five. Now we know exactly how to narrow it down. This guy that's coming used to live. He was one of these five that have already fallen. Will it be an Egyptian pharaoh? Will it be a Babylonian king? Will it be a Greek king? Will it be an Assyrian king? There's different evidences in the Old Testament that it could be one of those very easily. One of them, folks, one of them is in the pit right now. They're all in the pit waiting for their final judgment. But this one is still alive, still waiting to finish the work that he began at another time. He used to live. He doesn't live now, but he's coming out of the pit. Isn't that clear to you? Five have fallen. One is, that is, in John's day, there was one of these seven kingdoms still in existence. Five were gone. Medo-Persia's gone. Greece and all that, that's all gone. But one, the Roman Empire was in existence in John's day. And he says another one has not yet come. And you know what? He still hasn't come. He still has it. We got to get this church thing out of the way first. The church history still hasn't been finished. When God's grace has gone to the Gentiles, then we can finish world and Jewish history. But right now we're in a very special age. No world power has been allowed to take over. Many have tried. Nero, and I don't mean Nero, but his name fails me, my goodness. But Hitler and Stalin, all these men wanted world control, and they didn't get it. Romanism wants world control. They're not quite there yet, although they're the last world power that has been in existence. But many people have wanted to be in charge of the world. The Muslims are trying right now. They want a world caliphate. They don't want just a Middle Eastern thing. The other has not yet come. There is going to be a world empire at the very end. World empire. Daniel tells about it, and other prophecies talk about it. And when this seventh person comes, he'll just remain a little while. He will be, and this is what is hard for people to know and to believe if they don't read all the details. The next world ruler is not Christ, nor is it Antichrist. It's just the seventh world ruler. And the beast, which you saw, this animal, which we're really talking about during this whole passage, that guy, he used to be, he isn't now, but he's the eighth. He's going to come after the seventh, but he's one of the seventh. That's why some people say, well, it's the seventh that will be killed. He'll be assassinated and brought back to life as the Antichrist. Still possible, yeah. But according to verse 8, this guy was in John's day. He was. He goes to destruction. He's one of the seven. He's going to be raised from the dead. He'll be the eighth kingdom, the eighth world empire. But he himself will be one of those seven guys that already live. Seven people that are like candidates for this president of the world. Candidates in our mind. There's only one that's been chosen already. But as you think about it, there's only seven people you can choose from. Really, if you believe literally, as I do, verse 8, that in John's day he was already history, then there's only five you can choose from. Will it be Antiochus Epiphanes? Will it be one of the Assyrian kings? Their names are going out of my head. Sennacherib? Will it be a pharaoh? One of those five that ruled the world against God's people, horribly against God's people, hated God's people, and came against them. Which one will it be? One of those five, according to this text. We don't know any more about it according to this text. There's other things you'd have to check out to find more. But as you keep looking and keep looking, you're going to find the truth. It's in there. It's in there. It's in there. Well, I took a whole lot of time on that little passage because that's one that's so critical to me anyway. Through the years, it's been so critical for God's people to understand. We've got so many theories out there. Every time, like Obama, Clinton, Bush, everybody said, there he is. The Antichrist has come. Get out of this. Get over it. The Bible tells who this person is, almost gives his name. All right, I've had enough for today. How about you? Let's go on tomorrow to Babylon itself, its fall. Eventually we'll come to the end, and then the beginning, the new beginning for God's people. Don't forget what it says, though, in Revelation 17:9, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. She has ridden world politics to power in every generation, this woman of the night, this false woman, this false bride of Jesus Christ, the prostitute, the woman who prostituted herself with the nations, brought some truth to them, but also carried along all their falseness, rode them, politicians, world empires, to power. Does that sound familiar at all? All right. God bless you. Let's talk tomorrow.